Hello there, Cleanest Line listeners. This is Steve House calling from Makalu Base Camp, the low base camp at about 15,800 feet. And today is May 14th, 514, which is kind of an auspicious world, I always thought. Anyway, let me proceed by telling you a little bit about what has happened since I last checked in. As I left you, I was heading up to do a little bit of an acclimatization mission up on the west face of Makalu and try to assess the conditions and the feasibility of a route there and to get my body used to the altitude. And I did that, although I accomplished all those things. I spent about 7 days up there by myself, and as I was leaving base camp, I was walking past a Spanish camp, and the guy looked at me like I was really strange for going out and spending a week alone, but I have to say I kind of enjoy it. I mean, my life is filled with, as most of our lives, is filled with other people and being around other people and interacting all the time, and it's hard, like the first day is strange, but then after that it's really nice to just be able to spend some time with yourself. So that was really good. But on to the action. I spent a couple nights at about 18,000 feet, right at the base of the face, made a carry of a small cache, a little bit of stove fuel and a rope and some stuff like that up to where I was going to have my bivouac higher on the face at about 22,000 feet. And then after another day of rest, I moved up there to 22,000 feet, set up a small tent in a really nice protected little spot. Basically, at the highest, low angle part of the face. There's the face really begins at about 20,000 feet, and I climbed the first 2,000 feet of the face, and there's what's known as a hanging glacier, a glacier that's kind of glued into the middle of the face, and it's not very big. It's only maybe like, I don't know, 200 yards long, because the glacier accumulates, and then below it, it's so steep that it just falls off in big chunks, big seracs, down to the main glacier, the big Barun glacier below that feeds the Barun River that flows out to the ocean from here. So I got up there, pitched my little tent under a serac, and woke up to some snowfall, which was a little bit of a bummer. I wanted to be able to climb up a little higher on the face, so I decided, okay, you know, no big deal. It doesn't look like it's going to be that bad. I'll just hang out here. So the first day, I spent the whole day in the tent, just kind of hanging out. It was a little bit awkward because it was actually snowing pretty hard, and you don't want to cook inside your tent for obvious carbon monoxide poisoning issues. So I was having to kind of, you know, try to cook and melt snow to keep hydrated by running the stove outside of the tent. The whole time it was kind of snowing. It was quite cold, and the next morning, I woke up, I slept really well. I woke up, and there was the strangest sound, and I couldn't figure out what the sound was. And, I sat up, and I, you know, kind of had a drink of water, and looked at the time. It was about 6:30. I'd been sleeping for about 8 hours straight, which was really good for 22,000 feet to be able to sleep that well. And I felt okay, and kind of had a little cough, and it was a weird cough, because normally the cough is an irritation of your throat, you know, like your right esophagus almost, from the cold, dry air sort of drying up. This one was deep. And then I sort of laid back down, and I kind of shifted positions, and then I heard the noise again, this sort of gurgling, crinkling noise. It's like wadding up paper a little bit. And this time it was much louder. It was much like wadding up paper slowly, and it was coming from my chest. And what that meant was that I had pulmonary edema. I had fluid that had leaked, from the arteries, from the capillaries in my lungs, and into the alveoli spaces in my lungs, and I was essentially drowning in there. And it's a super dangerous condition. It's called high altitude pulmonary edema. It's odd because it can strike anyone when they go up to high altitude. I've been up to high altitude innumerable times and have never had any pulmonary edema. And you know, it was my third trip to 22,000 feet, and, you know, I'd spent multiple nights there, and I just happened to get it that night. So hard to explain why I got it, but it is, you know, it's, to put it lightly, it's a life-threatening situation, and I had some emergency medications with me, which in the case of pulmonary edema happens to be a drug called Cialis, which has some other recreational, shall we say, uses that I won't go into here, though none of those effects manifested themselves with me there. But I took a Cialis and started packing up and started down. Fortunately, it was still really storming out, and I had about 1,500 feet to down climb and rappel, which took about 90 minutes. And as I said to somebody there, well, it took 90 minutes of time, but it took much more than 90 minutes off my life because it was just really nerve-wracking, and it was really kind of a ground blizzard. I mean, at times I couldn't see my ice tools that were stuck in the ice in front of me because the wind was blowing the snow so hard. I'd have to sort of wait, you know, and then it would let up a little bit, and I could climb down a little bit. And I'm really thankful I had my ski goggles with me because that allowed me to see and get down. And I got down to the glacier where I could walk in about 90 minutes, and then I just continued to walk all the way down here to base camp, which took about 9 hours and gave me an elevation loss of about 6,000 feet, a little more than 6,000 feet. So that's the best thing you can do for high altitude illness of any kind is descend. And I had a bit of a rough night that night. Your body always lags a little bit behind your real altitude. So even though I had descended and I knew I would be safe, I was really uncomfortable for about 8 hours, listening to, I had a stethoscope and listened to the fluid in my lungs, and I couldn't lay down at all. I had to remain sitting up and was breathing. I'll imitate my breath. It sounded a lot like this. It sounded like a dog panting. It was like, if I breathed any deeper than that, I would start coughing. I mean, I estimate that I probably had about 50% of my lungs filled with fluid, which was absolutely terrifying. And sometime around between two, I obviously wasn't sleeping, and I have a friend here, Corey Richards, who was sharing base camp with me, and he stayed in the tent with me to kind of make sure I was okay. We had what's called a Gamow bag, which is a sealed bag that you can put a patient in and pump up the pressure so you can effectively bring them down to, you know, between 6,000 and 8,000 feet. So we had that kind of on standby. We didn't use it because it's a lot of work to use it. It sounds like, oh, you just pump it up, but actually, you know, it takes several people, you know, it's like a foot pump. It takes several people, you know, an hour and a half to kind of inflate it up the pressure, and it kind of requires constant monitoring. And I knew I was going to get better. It was just a matter of time because I had lost so much altitude. And between 2 and 3 in the morning, I did start to come around and finally kind of went to sleep about 4. It was very scary. The next morning, I talked to a doctor who's probably the kind of world expert on high-altitude medicine. He lives out in Colorado. And he's consulted with me by phone on a number of expeditions. And I talked to him, and, you know, he basically gave me a clean bill of health. He said, you know, you did the right thing. You went down. You know, you should probably just rest there for a few days and possibly go down a couple thousand feet further, below 14,000 feet or so. And he said he'd never had a patient who had gone below 14,000 feet, recovered from pulmonary edema, and returned to high altitude, who got pulmonary edema a second time. So he thought I was safe to continue with my expedition and my climbing attempts. And, you know, he's just as baffled as to why I got pulmonary edema this one time and not the dozens of other times I went up above, went up above 20,000 feet as the rest of us. So that's a little bit more of an exciting story than I was hoping to have for you. I was hoping to have a rather droll account of going up and down and kind of like making a little cash and relating some strategy and what I'd seen and whatnot. But instead, I had a little bit more excitement than I bargained for. And that is the story, and that is high altitude mountaineering for you. It can be quite quickly become very dangerous, and the only thing you can do is be skilled and mobile enough to descend quickly. And I was able to do that, thankfully, this time. So that's my report. I'm going to, as you may imagine, I'm going to rest here in base camp and descend a little bit further here tomorrow for a couple of days of sort of R&R, go down to this place called Yangla Karka, which is about 12,000 feet, which is, there's a meadow, and, you know, we've got some stone huts with some yaks down there, and, you never know, it might be some good nightlife down there or something. Maybe they're, you know, bringing in a band from Leeds tonight or something. Who knows? You never know. These Nepalis are pretty wild. No, seriously, in all seriousness, I doubt that there'll be much going on down there in the yak hut. But I'll probably just take a tent, go down there, take a little climbing stove and a couple books, and go chill out for a couple days at low altitude, let the fluid reabsorb into my lungs, and then and come back, and I'll check back in with all of you before I head up again. Thanks for listening, and hope you got to learn something today, as well as hear a little bit of a story. All right, this is Steve signing off from Makalu Base Camp. Cheers.